Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Oil and gas executives are unhappy with President Joe Biden's attempts to rein in their industry, but they're also sweating at the thought of a second Donald Trump administration. That's what Politico's Ben Lefebvre discovered last week at CERAWeek in Houston, one of the world's premier annual energy conferences. So today, I chat with Ben about what he learned there and how industry is feeling about Biden and Trump heading into the 2024 election. It's Tuesday, March 26th.
Trump's name was not mentioned at all. I mean, for that matter, Biden's name wasn't really mentioned at all very much. It wasn't a very political conversation on the stage. I did talk to about a dozen executives, more than that, kind of behind the scenes to hear what they were thinking privately about the big election coming up.
That's interesting. I mean, what are people saying behind the scenes? You're saying it, you know, it didn't really come up in the public stage, but what were you hearing from the oil and gas industry specifically about Trump and potential concerns around his return, future Trump administration, given we know that industry traditionally favors Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the oil and gas industry is a pretty Republican-weighted industry. When I would bring up Trump specifically, folks were a little bit, I don't want to say down on a Trump administration, but more of they didn't think it was going to be an instant win for them. They would talk about how, well, last time around, we've had a preview of what a Trump administration might be, given the previous administration. So they would talk about, they were worried how a second Trump administration might bring back kind of like the trade wars that we saw during the first administration. So we already have Trump talking about putting on a 10% universal tariff on all imports in the United States, which is not something that the executives I talked to seemed to be particularly looking forward to. And that was just kind of like table stakes. Trump's also talking about more tariffs, additional tariffs going on to Chinese autos or just, you know, anything else you can kind of think of. That was the main thing they were worried about. But I also heard from other, you know, executives who said they were just worried about the general chaos that, you know, the Trump administration had kind of plaguing it the first time around. Are we going to see a loyalty test be the main indicator of who might staff some of the important jobs in a Trump, you know, energy department or interior department or EPA? Are we going to see people who actually kind of might know more about how to get things done? And even if, you know, there's experts in place, is it going to be such a, you know, turf battle as it was the first time around that there's just a steady, you know, stream of folks going in and out of office? So those were the two main concerns that I heard.
Interesting. I did want to bring up the Inflation Reduction Act. I know that's something that came up in your conversations with industry. So what are executives saying about how Republicans and Trump, should he win, how should they handle Democrats' climate law? Because we know that industry does like some parts of it, right?
Yeah, I didn't hear anyone who said they wanted to see a wholesale repeal of the Inflation Reduction Act. My reporting showed that there were some provisions that, you know, are broadly popular in the oil and gas industry. And I think these are pretty already much, you know, it's pretty well known which ones we're talking about, like the 45Q tax credit that gives industry money to capture carbon dioxide and store it. You know, there's also a lot of money for just setting up carbon capture infrastructure or for setting up these hydrogen, you know, development hubs that we've seen. So there wasn't any big thing about just kind of tearing it up. There was also the idea that if Trump does go and tear up the IRA or does go, as someone, you know, kind of said to me, quote unquote, rip up the EPA, there's a lot of concern that that's going to be a reputational hit for the U.S. oil and gas industry, that at the time they're trying to say how clean U.S. oil and gas is and how they could kind of meet any standard anyone wants to set around the world, that if you start tearing up all these standards on the government side, that, you know, the European Union might say, well, look, you want to sell us your gas, but you have an administration that's kind of taking a sledgehammer to the environmental regulations in your country, you know, what kind of message does that send? So that was the basic, the two things that people said, you know, they thought would not get changed. But I also heard quite a bit that we might see what someone called the consumer-facing part of the IRA go bye-bye. And that's things like the EV tax credits, the home energy efficiency tax credits. Anything that didn't benefit the oil and gas industry might just go away. And that was kind of a concern I heard more from executives on the clean energy or even some of the environmental groups. That's a concern that they raised.
Got it. And I just wanted to see if you could maybe capture the vibe of the oil and gas industry just kind of broadly and their sentiment about where things are. I mean, clearly they're riding high, you know, record production, profits are great. Previous CERAWeeks, I know climate was very dominant. I don't know what it was like this time. I'm wondering if permitting came up. I mean, what was kind of the vibe? Any priorities that were discussed, or was it maybe hard to decipher?
It was a little bit hard to decipher. You know, on the first day of the conference, on the Monday, we had ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods kind of take the stage and say that he thought the U.S. was going to miss its 2050 net zero target. And he had kind of said that in the past. So it was just kind of him reiterating that. And then right after him, we had the Saudi Aramco CEO Amin Nasser come on the stage and say we needed a whole reset on the energy transition idea, that, you know, countries were going about this the wrong way and this whole move to EVs and getting rid of oil and gas was just not working. And he got a big round of applause from the oil and gas executives in the audience. But after that big slice of red meat got thrown out, that talk kind of disappeared. And the conference, we talked about this earlier, you know, for instance, last year, the big CERAWeek topic, the big through line that went through everything was the Inflation Reduction Act and how that was going to change the game. And the year before that, it was all Russia, 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 and what the Russian invasion of Ukraine meant. This year was more of a kind of reverted to the mean of being an industry conference. Companies would take the stage and talk about their specific projects, talk about the energy transition was occurring, or, you know, they would talk about, oh, we're still going to need oil and gas. But there wasn't a lot of news made on the policy side or the energy transition side. It was mainly kind of the industry, to a certain extent, spinning its wheels this year.
Also, House Speaker Mike Johnson has selected Representative John Molinar, a Michigan Republican, to serve as the next chair of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. Molinar is replacing Representative Mike Gallagher as he exits Congress later in April. In recent months, Molinar has gained notoriety with China hawks for opposing a proposed battery factory with links to a Chinese company in central Michigan. A new role leading the China Select Committee could give him a platform to slam Democrats' clean energy policies and draw attention to U.S. dependence on China across the green supply chain. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.